process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, of your word today. I pray, Lord, as our bellies are full and our minds are sleepy, that you wake us up. Lord, keep us to the task. And Lord, keep me on point and on focus, that, Lord, you may be exalted in the preaching of your word today. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Now, we understand that there is a right and a wrong way to serve the Lord. He makes it very clear what he expects of us and what he wants of us. When we fail that mark, we really have no one else but ourselves to blame, right? We should understand that. Bring an animal offering, and Cain made a different decision. I'm going to bring the vegetables. I'm going to bring the fruit. Now, again, why? No doubt he probably thought, well, this is clever of me. I want something that best represents me. Why should I go and have to go to my brother or my dad to get a lamb when I've got all this stuff? And I want to be accepted for the work that I do. And I tell you what, that's what a lot of people want today. Please accept me based on what I am willing to offer and what I think best represents me. And what we've done, and we see it from the time of the first children on to today, is we develop this sense of, I'm a something. Let me build on this. When you are a child, you're asked this very simple question, what is your favorite color? Raise your hand. I know we're a little sleepy, but raise your hand if you have a favorite color. I'm not going to call on you to talk. Just tell me, yes, I have a favorite color. Now, are you wearing your favorite color? Now, wait a minute. That's your favorite color. Everything you own should be that color because that's your favorite color. Do you like other colors? Well, you better not. You have a favorite color. And it's transgressing who you are to have anything else. How about this? Anybody here, perhaps you got a favorite, a favorite animal, a favorite cartoon character like that. You quickly find yourself, oh yeah, I really like this thing. And before you know it, every Christmas, birthday, whatever, there it is. Right? You'll have it on a toaster, you'll have it on a coaster, you'll have it on a cup, you'll have it all over the house once somebody finds out you've got a favorite, this, that, or the other. Right? Oh, because that's part of your personality. Well, what happens when I change my favorite color? Now I'm surrounded by a bunch of this color. Right? Very first thing, you have to have a favorite color. Right? Now how about this one? What's your favorite sports team? Got to have a favorite sports team. Now, who are you if not your favorite sports team? I had a boss one time. Everything in her office would tell you what her favorite sport was, what her favorite sports team was. And I said, all right, I get it. But then you sit there, well, what's your favorite sports team? Let's go around the room in the meeting and please tell me what's your favorite sports team. And you're sitting there with your phone in your lap going, all right, what's a good sports team? I don't know. What's one that hasn't been in the news lately? Like, give me something. You know, we get stuck. We've got to typecast ourselves into certain characteristics. And here's Cain. I'm a farmer. Not of animals, but of the land. Why would I serve God in a way that doesn't represent me? Well, the answer is quite simple. You don't serve God in a way that represents you. You serve God in a way that represents Him. Right? You're buying your wife a power tool. That's what you're doing. Right? I went out and I bought my wife a brand new DeWalt power tool set. Does your wife do woodwork or something like that? Does she do handiwork? No, I just figured she'd like it around the house. Yeah, you did. That's what we do to that. That's what Cain was doing to the Lord. I wanted something like, hey, listen, like these are some great carrots. These are some great apples. Hey, I got a great crop this year, a great yield. I want to bring that. But the problem is simple. That's not what God asked for. There are many a preacher sitting in a pulpit. There's many a child of God sitting in a pew that thinks that they can serve God their way and disregard what God has said. And then they get offended. Why? Because my favorite color is a reflection of me. My favorite sports team is a reflection of me. My way of worship is a reflection of me. Therefore, if God rejects what I do, He's rejecting me. And that's not what it is. Now, brother, how do you know that? Well, let's take a look at what God had to say. Right? Here's Cain. He's wroth. He's angry. Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? Now, hang on to that. That's going to come in handy a lot for this sermon. If you do well, will it not be accepted? What's on the other side? If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. You've got a choice. It is not about whether you yourself are your sin, because you're not. You and sin are two different things. You've got a sin nature, but you yourself are not sin. You've got a choice. Well, I've been struggling with this sin for decades. But that's not who you are. That's what you're doing. That could very easily be laid aside. Oh, well, see, I'd have a difficult time doing that. I could never give it up. Well, if I knocked you out, drug you to a deserted island where that sin's not present, you'd be all right for as long as you're there, right? Well, yeah, so you can give it up. You got to get it far from you. The only difference is you haven't had the willpower or made the decision. I'm not doing that. Yeah, but it hurts my body. It gives me headaches. It kills me if I don't do this, or I get real irritated if I don't do that. And of course, we can put anything in there. It's my way of stress relief. It's my way of this, and I got to do this, and I got to do that. Any sin you're sitting there fighting with today would fit into that model. We haven't given it up for a laundry list of reasons, right? But you can. Because you are not that sin. That sin is not who you are. We define ourselves by that. Well, what's your pet sin? Right? We were talking about that over there at the barbecue. Brother Greg and I, we don't like cats. We are not cat people. Some of you are cat people. That's fine. That's fine. If that's your thing. I told you the story, right? I'm not a cat person. I told Danielle two things. Number one, I'm going to serve the Lord, and I don't know what our living situation is going to look like. So if you're okay with that, say yes. If not, I understand. Number two is I'm never going to want a cat. Never going to want cats. Danielle loves cats. She's a cat person. I'm a dog person. Right? Wanted a cat, always wants cats. Had a house full of cats. We got married, cute. All right, well, there's a cute cat. No. Hey, Matt, there's a cat at the vet office here, and we're having a hard... No. Mean. One day, that little firecracker back there, Xander, just driving in the back of the car, just starts preaching. Daddy, it's not fair. Mommy wants a cat. You ought to listen to her opinion. It's not fair. We always got to do things your way. We do things mommy's way every now and then. You got to think about her. So I went to get a cat. And we were at the PetSmart, and there was two brother cats. And that mean old lady in front of my kids, goes, doesn't say, which one do you want? Because she's just an inhuman person. Looks at me and says, which one is staying? So I went into marriage saying, I'm never going to have a cat. I've got two cats. Some of us are cat people. Some of us are dog people. Can I tell you this? You're not a this or a that kind of person. You're not. They're decisions that you make. And any decision that you make to do wrong can be undone. You can't fix all the stuff you've caused from your sin. There are long-lasting effects. There is no I'm sorry and it erases. There is no I'm sorry and you're never tempted to do it again. Those things will always be there. Temptation will always be there. Temptation may not be lying at the door, but he may be in the neighborhood. And the people that you hurt with your sin will still be hurt after you've apologized. Some things you just can't erase. That's why, again, we avoid sin. We don't do sin. But all the same, Cain's sitting there. He goes, now, wait a minute. I brought the best of everything. And he's sitting there. He's looking over at Abel. Abel's got the meat. And the Lord accepted him. He's getting hot. He's getting bothered about this. What's he doing? Why him and not me? And quickly the conversation became, and we even see in the precept that he rejected Cain's sacrifice. But poor Cain, you rejected me. Cain, those vegetables, they're not you. They're not. You put the seeds in the ground. You took care of them. You brought them up. But very easily, a drought could have killed them. And you'd have been able to do nothing about it. Some of you, you're fighting varmint getting into your gardens. You're having a very hard time keeping them out. You got really little control over that, right? You could build a high fence. Those things will come digging right underneath your fence. It don't matter. It's God that gives the increase, right? Now, from a spiritual perspective, but it is very much in a harvest perspective as well. God gives the increase on that. That's not you. That's not even completely controlled by you. Cain got angry because poor old Cain, he got confused. He thought he had a better idea than what God had said. Like maybe perhaps God had not thought of his arugula and kale and lettuce and turnips. Maybe God didn't think about this. Right? And who knows what kind of vegetables they had then. They might have had some cool stuff, cooler than we got now. God might not have thought about this, but he might think this is so very clever. There's many a person who creates something that don't fit into scriptures, and they think they've got something fancy. They got something slick. You don't. If God says no, it's still a no. If God says, I want it done like this, he will accept no variation of it. He won't be excited about it. He won't say, oh, what a clever thing. I never thought of that before. He'll sit there and say, I told you no, and he won't accept it. He got confused. He thought he was clever. In doing something different, what he was really doing was rebelling. But he didn't have the heart for rebellion. He wasn't out there going, well, I'll show God, I'll turn up with turnips. I don't think that was the heart. At least that's not what it says. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not. But you don't have to be malicious to be rebellious. Do this, and we don't do it, that's rebellion. Well, I wasn't trying to. It is what it is. It is what it is. This is the mark. You chose not to do it. It's rebellion. Whether you got a bad attitude or a good attitude, whether you want to claim ignorance or not, you have no cause for it. There's a Bible sitting right there. There's preaching here. I almost said good preaching, but I won't say that. The three solid preaching services here every week. You've got the opportunity to hear and learn. We got a website filled with sermons you can dive into. You can have sermons anytime you want them. Sermons coming out your ears, coming in your ears. It's great. There's no reason to sit there and say we are ignorant because we've got everything that we need to learn. It's rebellion. God hates rebellion. And by the way, sin, which rebellion is, was the whole cause for the sacrifice. Right? We're doing the sacrifice because mom and dad didn't listen. So by proving my sorrow for it, I'm not going to listen. Sin does not cover up sin. Sin does not fix sin. It does not make it better. We would even sit there and say perhaps Cain believed that in rejecting his sacrifice, God was rejecting him and elevating his brother. And as I've said many times in this sermon so far, you are not your sin. Sin is what you are doing. Sin is a choice you are making. It always breaks my heart when people say, well, I lost all control of it. Really? Really? You woke up and you were having an affair. That must have been a wild experience for you. You woke up and you were 9 beers deep into it. Really? What a rough day you were having. You got into a fist fight and you woke up at the end of it. Well, it's a good thing you got to sleep through the hard part. You were driving down the road and all of a sudden that bank deposit that your boss told you to take to the bank, it just disappeared. So you filed a police report. It's gone. But sure enough, you found it in your back pocket when you went home. You poor thing. How are you going to explain this? Best you just keep it. We tell stories. You made a choice. You picked up the phone. You put the thing in your pocket. You went to the store and bought the this, that, or the other. You did the thing, right? David, thou art the man. You did it. Sin does not reach in and make us do stuff. Now, don't get me wrong. The more you practice sin, and we'll talk about this, the more you practice sin, the more of a hold it has on you. Today we call it addiction. In the Bible it says it's got a hold on you. But here's the thing. With addiction, oh, there's no hope. You're always stuck. However, when it's got a hold on you and the Lord breaks you free, you're free. That's what they skip on, that there's a way out of it. There's freedom from it. Many of you tell the testimony. I smoked this for years. I drank that for years. I did this for years. And I wasn't always the nicest. I wasn't always the most faithful. And we got the laundry list of things that we've done wrong. And we can sit there in our testimonies and say, praise the Lord, I don't do it no more. That's how God works. We don't get an out like that because we have the keys to the jail. You are not your sin. Your sin is your choice. It cannot make you do something. It can hurt you on its way out. It can make you miss it every second of the day. It could give you a migraine. It could shut you down for a week. But it is not who you are. You always have a choice. But poor Cain, in his confusion, he rejected wisdom for jealousy. What was the wisdom? If you do well, won't you be accepted? And if you do wrong, sin lies at your door. Its desire will be on you. We have a choice. I can do right and, well, good things will happen. I can do wrong and here comes sin to tear apart my life. One of these two. I have a choice, but instead what it can do? Abel completely sidestepped the conversation. And look, here's mom and daddy's little trick. Come back to join us. It's not me. It's the woman you gave me. Well, it wasn't me. This sneaky little serpent over here. Now, you notice how the serpent didn't blame anybody. He knew what he was doing. He's laughing it all up. I got him to turn against God. There's only one man on earth. I turned him against God. There's one marriage on earth, and I turned them against each other. And all I had to do was, all I needed was a piece of fruit, and I got them. Turned man from God, husband and wife from each other. He's chuckling. And now here's Cain. He's angry. Does he sit there and say, I made the choice. I did bad? No. Abel and your perfect lamb and your perfect sacrifice. And God comes down and gives him this lesson. I tell you what would you give to have God come down on your worst day and give you wisdom? Preach you a little sermon. Say, hey, come here, let me talk to you. Don't you know if you do right, this will happen. If you do wrong, sin lies at the door. Your problem is very simple. It's this. Man, I'd give my right leg for that. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? Here's what you're doing wrong. Here's what's wrong with you. But he didn't do that. There he is, he's talking with Abel, and we don't get to know what the conversation was, but you just kind of see the sparks flying in Cain's eyes, just you and your perfect lamb and your that, and I could just, I try not to put into Scripture what's not into Scripture, but I try to imagine what that conversation was like. Well, you know, Cain, at any time, you can come on over, and I'll let you pick whatever lamb you want, buddy. Listen, the problem was you did your own thing. And man, God's never spoken to me, but I guess he's never needed. Who knows? Who knows what they said? But something happened. Cain went off. And he killed his brother. He chose anger. He chose jealousy. He chose to take his anger and put it somewhere else instead of picking up wisdom and putting it to use. If he would have sat for a second and thought for what God had to say and say, all right, even if I've got to sit there and take that same sacrifice and trade it my dad traded to my brother to get a good enough lamb. I will do it right, Lord. He could have repented. He could have made it right. But no, instead he made the decision a lot of us do, and we take it personal, and we get upset, and sometimes we'll get mad at the preacher. Sometimes we'll get mad at the brother or sister in the church that's doing it right. Either way, we'll put our angry eyes on somebody so we don't have to hear the noise of wisdom, so we can go on in our sin. Well, I guess he just doesn't like me. No, he doesn't like the sin. No, Cain, it has nothing to do with you as a person. You do right, God will bless it. You do it wrong, you get the consequences. That is the simple formula. It is not about what your brother and sister is doing. It is not about rejecting you. God's grace fits everybody. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that God's grace fit down to you, whatever it was you were doing? I mean, he'll save a Paul. He'll save the demoniac. He'll save the person down the road who's always hated church, always hated the idea of preaching of Jesus Christ. They hate it. God will still bless them. God will still save them. That's how grace works. Jesus Christ died on the cross to make sinners righteous. So what's all this? We're protecting our sin. What's all this? We're trying to make our sin as though it's equal to who we are. It is a fallacy. It is a joke. And what it does is it confuses us from what God has taught us in Scripture. That there's not a sin out there we cannot lay down. There's not a thing that besets us. Not a temptation that can overtake us, because we can rely on God to let it go. Poor Cain got confused. God gave this very simple message. If you do well, you'll be accepted. If you did like I told you, I would have accepted it. I remember doing that at work. I'd get so upset. I'd sit there. I'd take 10 applications or so in a week, and I'd throw those files together, and I'd hand them to my boss. And I had a boss who was a real stickler. She'd sit there, she'd have, like, you had to highlight this in a certain color marker. And you had to put this together with a certain color pen. And you had to put this in the right time and order. And I'd turn a stack of them in, so happy. We made so much money and I did so well and turned that in. And then an hour later, I'd come back to my desk and there would be 7 of them, 5 of them, something like that. You didn't color this right. You didn't highlight that right. You didn't fill this all the way out. You forgot to sign here. Drive me nuts. So I told her one day, I go, listen, I don't know what I ever did to crawl up under your skin, but we need to hash this out because you're really kind of harsh in what I've got. You know what she told me? She goes, well, if you did it right, I'd never turn them back over to you. I didn't know what to say to that. I walked away. And I kind of sat there for a minute and I go, well, I guess she's right. Yeah, you're ridiculous. I mean, I don't know why certain things have to be. She goes, so I can see it faster. Well, drink another cup of coffee. I'll buy that for you. Just, but no, if this was the mark, and I crossed the mark right, I don't get it back. Very simple. And then a year later, I find myself preaching the same sermon to the people I'm training. Get it right, or I'm turning it back. Right? And many of us, we work in that kind of a situation. You do it wrong, it comes back. You're in the drive-thru line. They get your order wrong. What do? Well, if you're like me, you just keep going and you deal with it. Right? I guess I wanted a chalupa. I don't know. Maybe they know better than me. But some of you turn around. No, this was wrong. Waiter, can you? This is not. Please take this back. Right? That's what we do. If you do good, would you not be accepted? Would you not get the check mark you're going for, the gold star you were hoping for? Would you not get those things if you did it right? You would. What does God also say? But if you sin, sin lies at your door. It's coming for you. Now, sin, we know the consequences of sin. Number one, hell. No good. Number two, there's the consequential, there's the consequences here on earth that affect your lungs, affect your heart, affect your mind, affect your family, affect your job, affect your driving, affect everything. Sin gets in, it creeps in, and it brings more of its friends. Sin is a corrosive thing. So, and that's at your door knocking at it, right? If you knew that you had somebody that came into your house and tore everything up and poured things down the stairs and ran your water to no end and was denting and dinging up your refrigerator, dishwasher, and was causing all sorts of trouble, would you not want them out? I got to wait till they're 18. But would you let people in that did that? There was a joke there. Nobody got it. No, but would you let somebody in like that? You would not. You wouldn't. So why would we let sin in who wants to destroy everything? Sin wants your marriage. Sin wants your relationship with your children. Sin wants your finances. Sin wants to see what's in the refrigerator. Sin wants to leave you destitute. That's what sin wants. Or that, but with one temptation comes two. And it's never just the once. It's never just this time. It's never just because it's a once-in-a-lifetime deal. Sin not just knocks. He's a regular door knocker. He'll put those choices to shame. I tell you what, the only person who wants you to pick up the phone more than those people wanting to check your extended warranty is sin. He'll find you just as creatively. We don't want sin at the door. This could be simple. But we complicate it by putting ourselves as sin. Well, I can't not do that. That's a part of who I am. That's baloney. That's baloney. Well, I tell you what. You don't understand how depressed I would be if I couldn't have that. Oh, so we're back to temper tantrums again. Right? You know, I take something away from my precious little Melody, and she'll tell you. She'll tell you. I want that back. That's mine. And that's the way we are. Don't do that. My feelings. Yeah, well, that's your feelings, but what about your overall well-being? What about your eternity? What about what God has to say about this? He gave you life. You're going to have to stand before him as to how you live that life. What are we doing? What are we doing? Now, see this, and I spent a lot of time looking at this. It says, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Can I tell you this? You're always the ruler over sin. You understand that, right? You're always the ruler. Sometimes you're a passive ruler. Sometimes you're a permissive ruler. But you're a ruler all the same. We don't like that, though, do we? We don't like that thought. No. Sin happens to me. Right? I was there. I bumped into the sin. And oopsie-daisy. I didn't have a choice. Sorry, you did. You did. Over sin. The problem is the king and queen are doing a bad job. Because you've got every opportunity to sit there at the gates of your heart and go, nope. Nope. Not doing it. Yeah, but you don't understand the pull it has over me. Let it scream. Let it cry. Don't let it in. Because you know what happens? You get used to saying yes to sin. Why bother having walls? Yeah, that's what'll happen. One, two, and after a while, I don't know if that church, that old fashioned religion, I don't know if that old preacher, I don't know if they've got it right. Because I've had experiences. You know what? Sin can be a fun guy to have in the room, but he'll never leave you the way you want him to. He'll take you far. Oh, you know that, right? Sin will take you farther than you want to go. He'll cost you far more than you want. That's what will happen. And after all is said and done, and he's made record ruin of your life, your health, your body, your family, your finances, after he's had his play, then you stand before the Lord. And you get to say, I brought you no gifts. Because it was all tainted by my little party with sin. Because I was distracted. Because I never gave to you what I should have given to you. And I never put in the effort. Because I wasted all my substance, my energy, my finances, whatever, on this sin and justifying this sin. There's many a person splits up out of a church because they're chasing sin, but they'll blame the pastor. They're chasing sin, but they'll blame the church. And they'll pretend that they've got some new wisdom right? Oh, no, see, there's other churches out there that say that this sin or that sin is a little bit more okay. They're a little bit more up with the times. What a foolish statement. Do you know the stuff that we're saying is okay nowadays has always been here? This is not a 2000s thing. This is a from the first day on earth kind of a thing. It's always been there. It's called sin, and it's always been present in every culture and kingdom since we've walked the earth. This is not trendy. This is not new. This is not rebellion. This is the same old songs played over again. We're sitting there walking around like it's the 60s. Going, oh, what a new lifestyle we have. No, we've done that. Not me, I wasn't there, but you guys. And before that, well, there was another time where it was just as prevalent. And other cultures where it's just as prevalent. Well, over in Europe, they're a little bit more free. No, they just do dumb stuff. They're not free, they're sinning. And they're allowing sin to have the throne of their hearts. Well, what am I going to buy today, sin? Well, hey, how much money are we going to spend on this today, sin? Hey, let's get my sin nature in here to kind of walk over this week's plan. How foolish to let our wants and our whims take over. Make the decisions when you're the one with godly wisdom and discernment that should be making the decisions. Who makes the decisions? I think camp would be a whole lot of fun if I let the kids make the decisions, don't you? That'd be a blast and a half. We've got this water slide. I want to say it's 25 feet or something like that. Goes down the side of the mountain. There are so many rules. There's lifeguards. There's people that work at the camp that man the thing because they don't trust us. Just get rid of them. You want to go down on your feet? Go down on your feet. You want to sit there and have five of you go at the same time head first? See what happens. Well, hold on. No. It's the truth. That's what we would do. We're out there putting poison in our veins, half dying four or five times before we figure it out. We're dumb. I hate to be mean, but that's it. When you let your passions and your whims rule, you end up with a mess. Because we don't always got the right idea. And something will grab a hold of you, and you'll feel that pull and that desire. And you'll think, well, I desire to do it, therefore it's a good idea. Now, I don't know about you, but I know me in traffic. If I went by all my desires, I wouldn't be here today. I would either be in the grave, or I'd be in the nicest jail cell they could find in the area. So what would happen? We don't let sin rule our lives. We rule over our lives. And we banish that particular person. We banish that sin. I'm not going to do it. Well, I don't got the strength to do it. You're right. Aren't you glad that for all of us that are rulers over our lives, there is a King of Kings for us to listen to? That's the missing factor. I go to the Lord. Lord, He's at the gates. And I got jealous and I got angry and I did something I shouldn't have done. And I let my flesh rule over, and now sin lies at the gate. Give me strength to give this thing the boot. Give me strength to keep that door locked to that sin. See, that's what it is. Well, I really want to do this. Well, who's in charge? You are this thing. You know, you are this time on the internet. You are this time in front of the television. You and how you handle things at work, whatever it is you want to throw in there, who's really in charge of your actions? If any one of these kids in this room make a mistake and I ask them, why'd you do that? What do they say? I mean, it is in the script of childhood. What do you say?
I don't know.
Now listen, you picked your brother up, you threw him through the window, you grabbed the glass, you scratched up my refrigerator. What? Why?
I don't know.
What were you thinking?
I don't know.
That's what you said. It's what your kids said. And guaranteed that's what your grandkids are telling you right now.
I don't know.
Do you know? You do know. I wanted it. I disregarded what God had to say, and I did it. And then all of a sudden, when the Lord brings down judgment on you, right, there's discipline in the church that happens. There's rejection. There's a conversation. Or, whew, forbid the pastor gets up and preaches on your sin. And we sit there, and instead of going, okay, well, that's wisdom. I better listen to that. We do what? Well, I don't think he ought to be up there talking about that. He must. I'm tired of looking at my life and taking guesses. Did you know I don't do that? I don't have time for that. You know what I mean? I don't. I'm happier not doing that. So if I'm preaching on you, don't blame me. I got no idea. I really don't. I love looking y'all in the eye and having no idea what happens. But you need help. That's what I'm here for. You look past the age. You look past the fact that I've only been here for a year and a half now. You guys need to come to your senses. You look past all that. And you look at, you come back and you come to me. Pastor, pray with me. Pastor, you got some verses. Something I can go over when temptation hits me. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give you those verses. And you know what I'm going to do? Next time I see you, am I going to be sitting there going, oh, there's brother so-and-so. I know what he did. No. I'm going to sit there. I'm going to see a warrior fighting on something. And I'm going to see the same man, the same woman that's always been coming into this church. Why? Because guess what? I knew you were sinners before I came. I already knew. And guess what you knew about me before I got here? I was a sinner. Some of you never heard my name before. You could guarantee and bet a sinner was coming. So that's past. Let's forget this. I'm ashamed. Get over it. We can get to business or we can be children. We can get to business or we can let our emotions ride us like Cain did. And all of a sudden we're out there committing one sin that leads to another sin. Right? David. David laid with Bathsheba, killed the husband, had to cover that and cover everything up. Right? Well, we'll trick the husband and then we'll kill the husband. And then we're going to sit there and we're going to hide the fact that we did all this. One to another, to another, to another. We could do that. Or we could sit there and actually be the rulers of our sin and say, no. No. I wonder how the story, how David's family would have changed if he would have gone back down at the top of the castle and sat there and wrote, all right, what we need is some curtains on the top of the buildings. From the outside here to here, up on the roof. Supposed to be. Anger and defensiveness and childishness, where I can sit there and say, that's wrong, right? He said animals, that's arugula, I see my mistake. Lay pride out, lay sin out. Don't let it come back in. Or else we too will find ourselves angry and feeling as though we're being rejected. Remember the little thing our country used to have called common sense? How was that? Was that nice? I didn't get to live too long during that time. I'm a little jealous. When do we lay it aside? When emotions overrule logic. And right now we're at a time where we can't even agree on what logic is. What's logical to the Christian mind is illogical to the ungodly. And what's logical to the ungodly is foolishness to us. We don't even agree on this. Remember our Sunday school lesson this morning. Where does true unity come from? It's an agreeance upon the scriptures. That's what we need. So listen, when we're in an area where we're being corrected and we think we can bring something different, something new, you double check to what God has to say. Don't ignore the rules that are there. Don't write ones of your own. And when you're corrected, be the adult. Be the ruler. They'll sit there and say, okay, that's not allowed to come in. Every pastor, as well as every parent, has wished that they're able to sit there and just, okay, how can I force someone to reject sin, right? How do I force my kid to do something intelligent in a difficult situation? You can't do it. You can't. I can teach, I can preach, but at the end of the day, it's you. Just the same as I can bury my nose in that book, and I can hear all the preaching of the men that I respect. But who makes the decision at the end of the day? I leave sin at the door. I don't let it in. I've heard people, well, what can I read that'll make me stop feeling this way? You won't. I can't put together a string of verses that'll make you never feel temptation again. I can give you a string of verses that'll put you in a more godly mindset to give you strength to say no, but I can't make the temptation go away. You got to resist the devil for him to flee from you. That's the way that works. Let's pray. Heavenly Father.